Glory to God. Well, I got a good word from God today. Hallelujah. This is just going to be exciting. I'm just super stoked about it. We're going to talk about how to respond to a promise. I mean, the Bible says, and the Bible's filled with promises from God. But I want to teach you today how to respond to a promise. And in this story we're going to share, it's really, you know, this week as I was beginning, you know, thinking about, okay, this is Christmas, and beginning to think about how Jesus came into being and kind of reading some things, I was reminded of some things. And so I really felt impressed to share this. I think it's such a beautiful add-on to what we've been talking about, living the victorious life. Amen. But let's go to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, it's in Luke, that's the chapter that begins talking about the birth of Jesus and all that wonderful stuff, and there's a lot of good stuff in that. But I want to talk about the story here where it talks about Zechariah, right? Because Jesus wasn't the only miracle that was happening right now, is it? Also, Zechariah and Elizabeth, Elizabeth was barren for many years, and she couldn't have children. And then finally, here comes an angel, and it talks to Zechariah. So let's get into this story, and let's just see how we can learn from this to how to respond to a promise. Because there are two different responses here that have some interesting results. And so let's take a look at this. All right. It says, when Herod, in verse 5, it says, when Herod was king of Judea, there was a Jewish priest named Zechariah. He was a member of the priestly order of Abijah, and his wife, Elizabeth, was also from the priestly line of Aaron. Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous. I want you to pay attention to some phrases because I thought this was kind of interesting when I read this. Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes, careful to obey all of the Lord's commandments and regulations. Careful to obey, right? God calls them righteous. God says these people are pretty awesome. You know, they're careful to obey all of my commands and regulations. Verse 7, they had no children because Elizabeth was unable to conceive, and they were both very old. So we had a kind of double whammy, didn't we? Had someone that, you know, they couldn't conceive for years, and now she's like, they're getting really old. And so that kind of tells us that it's kind of makes that exponentially more difficult for to get pregnant, right? All right, so let's keep reading. Lost my spot. What verse was on? Okay, we're on verse 8. Thank you. One day as Zechariah was serving God in the temple, for his order was on duty that week, as the custom was for the priest, he was chosen because they were rolling dice, I guess, right? So they picked him. He was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense. While the incense was being burned, a great crowd stood outside praying. While Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord while Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the incense altar. Zechariah was shaken, wouldn't you be? You know, people, man, if a big old angel come up and stood next to you right now, I think even all of us would go, what the heck is going on, right? I mean, it's not a normal occurrence, right? So anyway, he's kind of like taken back by this. So he was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. But the angel said, don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife, Elizabeth, will give you a son, and you are to name him John. You will have great joy. Think of this news. This is amazing. They have been believing God for this for years. Believing God for this child to come for years. And here they are. The angel shows up. He says, he's in there. He's been happened to be chosen this week to go in and do the priestly duties. Not everybody got to go into the presence still, right? This is before Jesus died on the cross. So he happens to get picked this week by lot, and he goes in, and he's burning incense, and he's worshiping the Lord. And then all of a sudden, an angel comes out of nowhere and begins to talk to him, tells him, don't be afraid, and all these things, right? We've already read that. So here's this great news that he says in verse 14, you will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or other alcoholic drinks. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before birth, and he will turn many Israelites to the Lord their God. He will be a man with the spirit and the power of Elijah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. And he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly. Wow! Holy smoking moly, man. This is like amazing news. Right? And what, Zechariah, you just got to know. I mean, Zechariah is like, glory to God. This is amazing. Thank you, Lord, for all. Thank you for this amazing promise. Yes, 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 Lord. You would think that's what he would have said. That's not what his response was. Here is his wonderful response. Zechariah said to the angel, how can I be sure this will happen? Now, see, from the surface, I mean, it almost makes sense. It's like, okay, we've been barren all these years. Now we're getting older and getting beyond the years of being able to bear children. And it on the surface, it seems legitimate. Zechariah was a priest. He knew the Torah. He knew all about the history of the Pentateuch. He knew about Abraham and Sarah. He knew the story. This was not a legitimate question. This was a question of doubt and unbelief. His response to this amazing, I mean, this is not like he was praying one day and the Lord spoke to him in his spirit like he does us today. Right? It wasn't like, and maybe, oh man, I just can't really, is that really me? Is it God? Is it the devil? I mean, who's talking to me here? What's really going on? It wasn't that. An angel of the Lord appears and gives this amazing report, and his response is, and it wasn't, how can I know this is going to, how can I be sure this is going to happen? This is more like, if you, in the Greek, I mean, the tense there is, It's argumentative. It's like antagonistical. Like, how can I be sure that you're going to do this? And not only he didn't stop there. So first he starts with a question of doubt, and then he goes into this. I am an old man, and he's so now. How many of you ever argue with God and try to explain your side of the story to God? You begin to give God the reasons why you don't think, or the reasons why you should, or how many of you ever believe God for something and you begin to tell him how he can do it? I take it from the laughter, I'm not the only one that's ever done that, right? We begin to tell God, oh man, oh yes, Lord, oh yeah, and Lord, you could do this, you could speak to this person, you could do this, Lord, you could do it this way. Did you know that God has a gazillion ways that you will never, ever even think of that he can get something done? God is so creative, he can create a new way to do it if he has to. Right? Hallelujah. He says, but Lord, I'm an old man now, and my wife is well along in years. He didn't say nothing about him being well along in years. Kind of like throwing it off on the wife. Well, I mean, you know, Lord, I'm an old man now, and my wife is all well along in years. Then the angel said, all right, I'll try not to raise my voice too much. But the tense that the angel is speaking is, I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. It was he who sent me to bring you this good news. See, when God brings you good news, retorting with sarcasm and negativity is not the proper response. Hallelujah. But now, since you didn't believe what I said. And it wasn't just that what he said. He just got through telling him, the Lord sent me with this good news. So it's not just what the angel said. This is what God said. But since you didn't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born. Why? For my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time. This was an event that was prophesied years ago, and God's like, it's time, it's going to happen. Oh, you're not in the boat with me? Why did he cause him to go mute? Because his words about it could have hindered and slowed down the prophetic word. See, just because we get a prophetic word or we get a word from the Bible, that doesn't mean we can just be loose with our lips. We've still got to watch the words that come out of our mouth. Wasn't it David that said, I will speak no evil when the enemy is before me, because he knows the enemy is right there to take those words of doubt and unbelief and cause them to manifest. But just as there is an enemy before us, there is a Holy Spirit that is with us, and he wants us to speak words of life. And as soon as we speak those words of life, he is also right there to take those words that we speak and begin to try to begin to manifest them. We think that he's trying instead of doing, because we don't see the results when we want to see them. But it doesn't mean that he's not doing. God is always working behind the scenes. Amen? All right. So he says, but now since you didn't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born. For my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time. As I was meditating on this passage, asking the Lord, okay, I can see what the scripture said. They can read the scriptures, but Lord, what is it you're speaking today? And this was the question he told me to pose to you. What promises are being muted in your life because you don't believe? What promises? Now notice that as soon as the angel spoke that, the baby didn't pop out. See, that's what we want. Oh, Lord, I got a word from you. Where's it at? You know how long they had to wait for that word to come to pass? A little better than 9 months. Because he still had to go back home, spend some time with his wife, and get pregnant. And then go the 9 terms for the baby to come. Right? But because he didn't believe the report of the Lord, the Bible says, whose report will you believe? David said, I will believe the report of the Lord. He didn't say that there wasn't going to be other reports out there. He didn't say that all the circumstances was just going to completely line up to that promise just so you would know. No, he says, no, I believe the report of the Lord in spite of what's going on out around me. I'm not moved by my circumstances. I'm not moved by any negative situation. I'm not moved by any negative doctor report. I'm not moved because of what the world economy says. I am moved by what God's word says. Jesus says, I came to give you life and life more abundantly. That word abundant, study it out for yourself, by all means. That word abundantly means superior in quality, super abundant in quantity. In other words, God wants you to have plenty of the best stuff, plenty of the best life. God's not okay with you just going through life being sick every day, struggling in your health every day. No, he wants you well. Hallelujah. He wants you blessed. Amen. We were just studying, just a quick shameless plug for our Bible school. We were just studying this Thursday night, weren't we, guys? Just talking about how God wants us. Right now we're studying how God has redeemed us from sickness and disease, poverty and lack, and spiritual death. And I told our students, I said, poverty is spiritual death working in your finances. Sickness and disease is spiritual death working in your physical body. And God has redeemed us from all of it. Would you like to hear more about that? Sign up for our Bible school. And we'll get around to it. Amen? Hallelujah. Having a great time with our Bible school. Hallelujah. All right. So, well, let's jump down to verse 26. Let's look at another account here. Let's look at something else, because what we've looked at so far is how Zechariah posed a question of doubt, and then he followed it up with reasons why it could not happen. See, that's not the proper response to give God, is it? Not when he gives you an amazing promise and he comes to answer a prayer you've been praying all along. Well, let's not doubt him. Let's go, okay, God, that is amazing. All right, let's look at a different response. Verse 26 says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, so they went back, and now she's pregnant, and she's 6 months along. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, and just think, all this time, Zechariah couldn't even talk. Even after she did get pregnant, God's like, nope, 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 not yet. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel, same angel, sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. Say, Mary was a virgin. All right, keep that in mind. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, greetings, favored woman. So Gabriel appears to her and says, greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you. Excuse me. Where am I at here? That's okay. 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 That's why I want to stop right there. Okay. Thank you for that, though. So favored woman, greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you. You jump on down to. Oh, I forgot to highlight that. That's why. Okay. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. So here, you get the same kind of response. An angel shows up, and you know, Zechariah is like, oh my gosh, what's going on? He says, don't be afraid. You know, here's the message from the Lord. And then Mary is confused and disturbed. So she's kind of a little startled as well, right? Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Don't be afraid, he said, Mary. The angel told her, for you have found favor with God. And then he goes into what the message is. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. And, you know, Mary, because she knows Zechariah, maybe she could have taken the same perspective. That is ridiculous. I'm a virgin. How can I be pregnant? I'm not even a virgin. But she didn't take the same angle, did she? She spoke a different word. She said this. She still asked the question. She said this. She goes, Mary asked the angel, how can this happen? I am a virgin. She was not giving a reason why it wouldn't happen, like Zechariah was. And she didn't ask with the attitude of negativity and doubt. Why? What's the difference? What happened with Zechariah and Elizabeth was not unprecedented. It had happened before with Abraham and Sarah. Right? Remember? 90 and 100 years old, they had a baby. Right? What the angel spoke to Mary had never happened before. This girl was like 12, 14 years old when this happened. And she hadn't had a whole lot of life experience, but she knew enough to know that never heard of any of my family's friends having babies without, you know, being impregnated, right? So here she is. She asked this question. How can this happen? I am a virgin. The angel replied differently because she wasn't asking in doubt and unbelief. She was just asking, just wondering how it can work. The angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month, for the word of God will never fail. And other translations say, for all things are possible with God. All things are possible with God. Verse 38, Mary responded, watch this. We're talking about how to respond to a promise. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And the angel left her. One translation, I believe, says, according to your word, be it unto me. How do we respond to a promise? Yes, Lord. Didn't say you had to understand it. I'm sure that even when the angel said, okay, so the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. He's going to cause you to be pregnant. You're going to carry this child. I'm sure that she was probably like, I don't even know how to respond to that. Other than, okay. We don't always have to see things and understand them in the natural and for it to make sense in the natural to just to believe God. Just to believe God. See, doctors will tell you there's no way you can recover. But God's word says, oh yeah, watch this. God's word says there's no way you can, I mean, you don't. Your job don't make you enough money for you to be able to pay your rent, but God can say, oh yeah, watch this. Right? In other words, God has so many more ways to help you. Has so many more ways. Now, that doesn't mean we don't do our part, right? We still have to work. We still have to find the jobs that'll help us along. But when you've done everything, the point is when you've done everything you can do, God says, I'll make up for where you can't get it done. Yeah. Amen? Amen? That don't mean we just sit around and like, oh, well, God's got this. No, God's got it. I always say it this way. The word of God will work for you when you work the word. In other words, when you do it God's way, I say this a lot. People have heard me say this a lot. To get God results, you got to do things God's way. Does that help anybody? To get God results, you got to do things God's way. We can't insist on doing things our way and saying, well, God's just going to take care of it. No, do it God's way. Amen. So here's Mary, though, and she says, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said to me come true. And then the angel left. Had no negative thing to say to her. Didn't take her voice away. Why? Because she believed God. The proper response to a promise of God is, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Okay. I'm not even going to pretend to wrap my mind around this, but you said it. I believe it. It's going to happen. May everything that you said come to pass. May everything you said come to pass. Now, let's look down to verse 45, and then I'm going to wrap it up with this. Because can you just imagine this? If she goes and shares this with Elizabeth and Zachariah's in the next room, you know, watching football or whatever he's doing. I know they didn't have football back then. It was a joke. Okay. You know, kicking rocks, whatever he's doing, drawing pictures in the dirty floor, whatever he's doing. Right? And he hears this amazing story. And I can't help but wonder if he was thinking, wait a minute. I ended up having to lose my voice over this very same type of thing. But the response was different, wasn't it? His response was, what? No way. I'm old. My wife's old. We can't do this. We've been married for years. Blah, blah, giving all these reasons why God can't do it. Where Mary's, the contrast is where Mary said, how can this happen? Well, this is what's going to happen. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. He's going to impregnate you. You're going to carry this child. You're going to name him Jesus. And she's like, okay. All Yes, Lord. May everything you said come to pass. I am your servant. In other words, she didn't let her religious thinking get in the way. She didn't really have a whole lot of religious thinking. She was only 12 to 14 years old, right? Zechariah had been in the temple all these years and been serving as a priest all these years, knew about what happened with Abraham and Sarah, but still chose to doubt God and question God on it. The thing to do when God gives you a promise is not question him on it, to say, okay, Lord, I believe I receive it. Remember what he says in Mark 11, 23? He says, for whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast in sin, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe the things that he says will come to pass. Pardon me, my voice. But he shall have the things that he says. And then he follows it up. Therefore, when you pray, believe that you receive them. Okay, let me fix this. Therefore, when you pray, believe that you have received them. See, we receive promises from God before we ever see the promises. We don't wait to the manifestation and go, oh, yeah, Father, I believe I received that. Thank you for giving it to me. Well, once he's given it to you, there's no need for faith. There's no need to believe that you've received anything. But Jesus talks about two things in those two verses. First, he talks about your words. You can't speak negative words and then say you're believing God for something. Right? He said, verse 22 says, have faith in God. Have the same kind of faith God's got. Well, what kind of faith did God have? Well, you go back to Genesis chapter 1, you find out. God said, and it came to pass. God said, and it was so. God said, and it was so. God said, and it came into being. God's always, when God breathed his life into us in the Garden of Eden, what he did is he made us a speaking spirit. Our words matter. Our words are very important. And that's why he shut Zechariah's mouth so he couldn't mess it up with his words. Mary, on the other hand, says, okay, according to what you said, I believe it. Everything you said, I believe it's going to come to pass. Mark 11, 23 and 24, at verse 24, therefore, because you got your words lined up, therefore, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe. Believe when? When you pray. Believe when you pray. I believe that I have received that promise. It's mine. I can't see it in the natural. I can't put my natural physical hands on it yet, but I know that it's mine. He's already provided it. We heard about that with the walls of Jericho, didn't we? God said, march around one time for 6 days. On the seventh day, march around seven times. And when you're done marching the seventh time, shout. And as I said last week and the week before, they weren't shouting to make the walls fall. They were shouting because God had already said, do this because I've already given you the city. I've already given you the promise. You may not see it yet. You may not be able to put your physical hands on it yet, but I've already done it. Just believe that. That will bring it into the natural realm. Amen? All right, let me share one more thing here, what Elizabeth said to all this, and then we'll close. Hallelujah. I got to do a better job taking care of my voice. All right. But look at verse 45. Well, let's start up at verse 42. I just threw the guys in the back for a loop there. But verse 42, it says, Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. Everybody say joy. Joy. Woo, glory to God. This is a season for great joy. We'll talk more about that next week. But then she follows it up with this. You are blessed. This is Elizabeth talking to Mary. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said. You are blessed. We are blessed when we believe what God's word says. We are blessed when we believe the promise. struggling, if someone's struggling with sickness and disease, and you get into the Word and you get you a scripture keys or something, you get in your concordance and you find out, look for verses that talks about healing. You see those scriptures and verses on healing, and then all of a sudden you go, yes, I believe. You are blessed because you believe. You are blessed because you believe. That's what she said. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what He said He would do. What do we mute in our lives? What blessings do we mute because we refuse to believe it? Here's what I can promise you. When you're believing God for something that you don't have, something that you need, or even if it's a desire, you know, the Bible says that God has given us all things richly for us to enjoy. So it's not just about it being a need. It can be just a want, a desire. But here's the deal. What is it we are muting in our lives because we read a scripture on it? It says we can have that. It says that God's provided it for us, but we go, it's probably for somebody else. I don't know if that's really going to happen. I don't know if I can really believe that. What are we muting in our own lives? What are we causing to not be able to come to pass in our lives because we refuse to believe the report of the Lord? So I want to challenge us today. Man, let's just become radical believers. You know, I don't care what the world... Did you know you don't have to give an explanation to the world about what you're believing God for? Even if you share... First of all, you might want to be careful who you're sharing it with. The Bible says, do not cast your pearl before swine. In other words, what does that mean? Don't cast pearls. Don't cast something that is of value to swine, to people who cannot even recognize the value in it. I just want everybody to know, choose your battles, right? It's not that I'm afraid. It's not that I'm ashamed. It's that I don't even feel like having to deal with these people. I'm just going to believe God. I'll share it with my church, man. I'll share it with people that I know that will hook their faith up with me. Amen? So let's just say, God, I believe you. I want to be like Mary. Lord, I may not be able to wrap my mind around this, but I'm going to wrap my spirit around it. And I'm going to say, Lord, in my heart, I believe it's going to happen. I don't have to see it. I don't even have to know how you're going to do it. You can choose to share that with me or not share that with me. I don't care. But God, I believe your word. What if we did that? What if we live that kind of... This is what I can promise you. Two promises. Here you go. Ready? Then I'm going to close. Was that my third closing? Okay. Promise number one is if you don't have it and you don't believe for it, you don't believe God can do it, you'll never get it. So, I mean, there you go. Or, here's the other thing I can promise because it's what the Word says. You can believe God for it, put your trust in Him, and know He's going to do it, and it will come to pass. That's what I do know. Number one, I know it because that's what the Word says. Another reason I know it is because I've seen it work in my life. And it is working in my life. And it is going to continue working in my life. Because I've made a decision. I'm just going to believe God. I'm going to believe God for the crazy. I'm going to believe God for the unexpected. I'm going to believe God to do what God wants to do in our lives. And I'm going to see it come to pass. Amen? What about you? Is that a decision you can make today? Kind of quiet in here. Come on. All right, thank you, brother, for hooking up with me. Hallelujah. All right. Hallelujah.